The scripture reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
There was this carpenter who was up on top of this three-story house, and he was re-roofing it. As he reached over to grab the next shingle, he started to slide. As he started to slide off the roof, he started screaming, "Oh, Lord, help me! Oh, Lord, help me!" He says, "I'm falling! I'm falling! Lord, help me!" And he starts to slide, and he's sliding faster. He's starting to realize that the edge is coming real near, and he's screaming, "Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me." And all of a sudden, his pants got hooked up on a nail, and he stopped, and he hung there. And the Lord says, "What do you need?" He says, "That's okay, I'm good. Nail got me. Nail got me." This past month, I've spent a lot of time studying the word of John Wesley. Well, for those of you that want to have a real boring read, John Wesley's the guy. John Wesley's what we founded our whole Methodist movement on. We call ourselves a church, but we're actually a movement. The Holy Club. Today we're talking about what John Wesley based our entire faith on. Grace. Grace. Prevenient grace. I want you to really, in your mind, picture a house, okay? A simple little cottage, beautiful yard out front, front porch, couple of rocking chairs out there, maybe a swing, nice little table, some lemonade, place where you can really sit down and just rest. And then you notice the house behind it has got all these rooms, great big rooms. Beautiful rooms, well furnished with all the luxury that you could ever want in your house. Where are you? Where are you at? Are you on the front porch, sitting out there rocking away, enjoying life as it comes at you, drinking your big glass of lemonade, or like those of us in the southern part of the state, some sweet tea? Are you there? Or are you inside the house? Inside one of the rooms of grace? Pretty simple way to look at John Wesley. John Wesley talked about prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Prevenient grace is being out here on the front porch. Out here enjoying life for all it is. Because you know why? You haven't really been introduced to God yet. And God's grace has enfolded you and protected you from everything that's going on in your life. He doesn't say it's going to prevent you from bad things happening. Nowhere in this book does it say that. Nowhere. Bad things happen. But good things are in abundance. Today we look at our prayer list and it's abundance. New babies on the way. Baptisms on the way. You know, you're falling behind. You have to try to keep up. So don't worry. The things that happen here. All that grace, all that love. So we're out on the front porch because God allows us to experience that front porch love. Front porch where you can come sit a spell. Enjoy the friends around you. Enjoy life together. Experience all of it in abundance. And then I want you to really listen to this. And it comes to us from John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3. And it says, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has rooms to spare. If there weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare that place for you. The disciples didn't really have a real clue who Jesus was. They lived in that realm of prevenient grace, where God was there encompassing them, protecting them, guiding them every step along the way. And do you notice throughout Scripture, how many times in Scripture do you hear the disciples say, "Who is he? Who is he? What is he doing? Why is he doing it the way he's doing it? Who is he?" They were on the front porch. They were sitting out there on the front porch enjoying grace. Life was in abundance for them. Now Wesley teaches us that we live in a state of prevenient grace and justifying grace. Justifying grace is inside the rooms, folks. Justifying grace is when you walk into that room, you can walk right up to God and you can have that conversation with him. And during that time, you experience a new birth. A new life comes upon you. Just like the baptism today, we experience an abundance, a cleansing, a holiness inside us. And during this holiness, we're given a new birth, a rebirth. And during that rebirth, we want to stay so close to God, but the human factor comes in, and immediately we sin. And during that sin, we fall out of the room and back to the porch. Are you following me? We leave the love of God to come back out on the porch. And then we work and we work and work and we go right back into that room because grace, Jesus Christ, grace comes into us and he says, "Hey, you know what, Ian? Come on. I died for you. I want you to be inside the house. Get off the porch. Come inside the house. There's love inside here. Love that we can't even imagine." We all know love in our life. Every one of us has got someone in our life that loves us. Or we love someone. But that love that you experience once you enter into that room of grace is more than we can handle. More than we can handle. And then we slip. Just a little slip that separates us from God. And we have to work our way back. Now, we don't always slip and fall out of that. Wesley teaches us that we can go into sanctifying grace, which is a cool word, sanctified before God. But do you realize that most people, most of us, in fact, I'm going to look around this room, all of us except maybe Sadie, we will experience sanctifying grace very few times in our life. John Wesley claims up to the day he died, he never did experience sanctifying grace. Because he never felt he was worthy enough to be in the complete presence of God. Complete, justified, sanctified, loving grace of God to be able to live there forever. And he slipped back out into one of the rooms. Today, we need to figure out what room we want to stay in. Do we want to stay in with God? Which I'm here to tell you, it's going to be impossible. It's impossible to stay that close to God all the time because we still have our human factor in us. Once we die and we go on to eternal life, we will be in the room of God forever. And we'll experience an abundance of love and we'll be sanctified forever because sin will be no more. But as humans, we're going to sin. We're going to slip. We're going to fall short. We're going to be distracted by other things in our life that's going to take our eye off the prize of God. But by love and grace, you are saved. You're brought back into that room where you can stand there and you can look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins." Now, most of us want to question ourselves, do I really sin? Prevenient grace protects you. Prevenient grace protects you from those little sins that we're doing during our days that we don't realize we're doing. That's that grace that abounds us. No matter what you do, you're not going to fall out of the love of God. You're going to always be there. You're going to be wrapped up with him completely. No matter what it is, you're there. Experiencing love. All of this dates back to one moment in time. And it's a little lesson for you that I kind of picked up, and I never knew this until 3 weeks ago. Adam and Eve in the garden were the original sin. Hebrew for Adam means mankind. Doesn't say just Adam the man, the single person created original sin. Mankind had the original sin. Eve is grace. We were forgiven. We were brought back in. Because mankind sinned, we're always going to sin. But the nice thing is, by connecting, asking for love, asking for grace, the sin's gone. No matter what it is, the sin is gone. We can experience the grace. It abounds us. As you talk to most Methodists, and it's sad that we ask ourselves, what is this prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace? If you're a person who likes to look at the hymnal, take out your hymnal sometime. Look up in the top corner, and it'll tell you what the song is: prevenient grace, justifying grace, or sanctifying grace. But we never bothered to really dive in deeper to find out what that was about. One opportunity that we can have to dive in deeper is by experiencing God's love for us. He pours out his love for us daily. And we can experience loving reminders each and every time we come before the Lord's table. In my communion class this past week, we were reminded that we are called to share one body, one blood. And the professor asked us, he said, when you gather at your church and you partake in Hawaiian bread, which that's a United Methodist staple, we've got to have Hawaiian bread, do we? Everybody, is that true? Hawaiian bread's got to be there because it's the feast of the unleavened bread, but we use Hawaiian bread because, well, we can bend the rules a little bit. And then we use Welch's grape juice or whatever's on sale at the store. And there's a nifty little history fact about the Welch's grape juice that we use. Whenever we fought against prohibition and we was really trying to get people to abstain from alcohol, well, we quit using wine and we needed something else. And Mr. Welch was a United Methodist. Well, he was a Methodist because we weren't united back then. We were just Methodists. And he went back to his factory and he came up with grape juice. Fruit of the vine, as we know it as Methodists today. Fruit of the vine. One body and the fruit of the vine. That loving grace that comes upon us. Today we're going to do communion just a little bit different as we start. Whenever you come forward for communion, those that are serving will tear you a piece of the body. They will hand it to you. And then we will share you with you an individual cup of the fruit of the vine. Because we come together to join around one body. Not one body in a couple of slices. One body. In all of its glory. In all of its abundance, we can experience this gift. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, as we leave this house today, Lord, I ask you to rain down on us, Lord. Bless us from within, Lord, so that we can be an outward sign of an inner grace. Lord, we love you. Amen.